Welcome to Magic 8 Ball with Melissa and Michaela. I'm Michaela Camp, Director of Platform at RevUp Capital.
I'm Melissa Withers, Managing Partner at RevUp Capital.
All right. Well, Melissa, 2024 was a wild ride, wasn't it?
One way to put it, baby.
Yeah, it was packed with surprises, challenges, and honestly, more than a few moments where I had to stop and ask, did that really just happen?
Totally.
And, totally. You know, now that we're in 2025, I've done a lot of reflecting. Years like 2024, they force you to see things differently. And they push you to find clarity in chaos.
Yep.
And figure out how to move forward, even when the path isn't clear. And honestly, this year wasn't just about surviving the unexpected. It was about evolving through it.
Truth.
And
yeah, you had to be different on the other side.
Exactly.
You couldn't just survive it. You had to change through it, right?
Yeah. In order to make it through, you had to change.
Yeah. I agree.
And along the way, we had to learn that sometimes the hard way, that transparency isn't a risk, but a strength. That collaboration isn't just a nice to have. It's the glue that holds
everyone
together. And that admitting you don't know it all doesn't make you weak. It actually makes you a more human leader. And
so, at least you and I.
At least us. Yeah.
We learned that. I don't know about everybody, but we learned that through our work.
And I personally think.
I feel good about that.
It's true for everyone.
Yes.
But, you know, today let's take a step back and do a full postmortem on the big themes of 2024. The moments that shaped us. The lessons that surprised
us. Well, don't panic, listeners. You know, Michaela and I can really go for it.
Exactly.
I would call this a mini postmortem.
A mini postmortem, yes. Post-mortem. And honestly, let's use it to set the stage for a stronger, more intentional 2025, right?
Love that for us.
All right, Melissa, let's dive in.
All right. Oh, me first.
Yeah, okay. You first. If you were to sum up 2024 in one word, what word would it be and what stands out?
Well, I'm glad you gave me a chance to think about this in advance because I would say opaque.
Okay.
You know, if you think of the classic definition, something is opaque because it blocks the passage of light, right? You can't see through it. So maybe it's a screen that you can't see through, or less literally, it's something that is hard to explain. 2024 was neither all good or all bad, but most days for me personally and professionally, it felt a little bit like fighting blind. Being on a path, but having only half a map, you know, being on a quest, but not entirely sure if the treasure was what I really wanted or needed, you know, guiding founders through situations that were different enough where you couldn't just reach into your pocket and pull out yesterday's solution, right? And I think for me, it was varying degrees of opacity, right? Very little did I feel like I could see all the way through to the other side and have confidence and clarity that I knew what was there. But you had no choice. You had to kind of fight in the dark, fight with one eye closed sometimes, right? And just kind of get to the other side. So I think my word for 2024 would be opaque.
Okay. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. You have had a lot of opportunities this year to see all kinds of things. You've worked with just dozens of companies. And people always talk about you behind your back, but almost always.
I'm going to say hopefully
saying good things. Really good things, but really saying things that are a lot about your values. I think you're a value-driven thinker and you're a value-driven actor, right? Yeah. For better and for worse, right? What's one value that shaped your work the most this year?
Yeah, I honestly, this year and most every year is all about staying curious, right? As one of my favorite YouTubers likes to say is question everything except for this sentence. Every conversation with a founder started with the questions, what if, what's possible, or have we tried it this way? Those questions weren't just like icebreakers in a conversation. They'd like ignited deeper, more creative conversations with our founders.
Yep.
And honestly, like it surprised me how much richer the conversations became when curiosity was at the center, right? It went from like, we have this problem, we need to fix it, to wait, let's dissect it, pull it apart and put it back together and see where we're at, right? Yeah. Which is a better place to be. And I think the using curiosity to shift the focus from problems to possibilities completely changed the dynamic of any conversations I had with any founder this year. And it was really more about brainstorming and uncovering paths that might have been missed than just like panicking about like what's wrong, right? Which I think is huge for everyone involved. And for me personally, curiosity helps unlock creative ideas and solutions that felt more inspired and less reactive.
Yeah.
And in like for me, it's never about finding the answer. It's about creating an environment where founders feel free to experiment and explore with us as opposed to presenting to us. And outside of being able to tackle challenges, that like mindset made the entire process of working with our portfolio more engaging and energizing for everyone
involved. You know, I think that's something I can't even offer our portfolio companies, because you just have infinitely more patience than I do. And if curiosity requires anything, right?
It requires patience,
which you have more of than I do. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Winning.
I've worked on it. I try.
It's paid off.
It's paying off, right? Well, with that in mind, speaking of working with founders, I'm sure you've had one piece of advice that you found yourself giving over and over and over again to founders this year.
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah, I mean, there's like lucky for me, there are a lot of problems that repeat in the work that we do. So not every challenge is like de novo, right? But I think you if you could have been listening to me this year, you would have heard me say a lot of times to founders that there may come a time when you lie to me, but please don't lie to yourself. Those are the lies that will haunt founders. They will cause the most pain for you and those around you, right?
Yeah.
So there may come a time when you lie to me, but please don't lie to yourself. You know, sure, there's true deceit in startups. Thank you, Elizabeth Holmes. But you know, after a decade of working as an investor, it's not the fear of being lied to that like, keeps me up at night. You know, founders and investors are like poster children, you know, for one of the most powerful constructs in human storytelling, right? The suspension of disbelief, right? And it's the suspension of disbelief that allows us to believe in things that don't exist yet, right? And without suspension of disbelief, there would be no entrepreneurship. I mean, nobody would even start a company, right? Yeah. If you didn't have the suspension of disbelief. And like, what fool would bankroll you?
Exactly.
Right? Like, amazing things like live between today and tomorrow. And it's the suspension of disbelief that, you know, allows us to swim in that space. The problem is that navigating the difference between suspension of disbelief and full throttle delusion is not as easy as it sounds, especially in a world where entrepreneurs are encouraged to walk the thinnest line possible between aspiration and reality.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so it's not about like being like deceitful. It's getting in some ways upside down in your own understanding, like what's plausible, what's aspirational, and what's like full throttle, like nuttiness, right? And I worry, so I don't worry so much about the Sam Friedman, Bankman kind of level of lies. Like I worry more because I think the difference between thinking big and being full of shit is murkier than most of us will admit, right?
Yeah.
And I worry about the slow and subtle ways that the suspension of disbelief and the way we encourage it and push it and write about it and just this big, go big or go home, all this stuff. You know, I worry that it can morph into a more destructive pattern of self-deception, you know, for all of us. And because I never miss a meal. I often will tell, you know, entrepreneurs, especially like first-time founders, like get comfortable serving up truth burgers. Right? Burgers have layers, right? There's no single story about your company, right? There's layers. Like, so like your company's current status is like a burger, right? And like, you know, give the sizzle, like give the cheese, like slathered up in secret sauce. But somewhere in the middle of all that gooey awesomeness, you know, say something hard, you know, put some meat in there, even if it makes taking a single bite a little tough to chew. And for me in 2024, this felt like, it felt like doctrine, mantra, couldn't say it enough.
Yeah. And I know something that we've talked about in previous episodes is like, that is a sign of vulnerability and authenticity.
Yeah. It's which again, we train out of or don't encourage, right?
Exactly.
So this is really, really serious stuff. And you can save yourself a lot of heartbreak as a founder if you can stay on the right side of that gutter between suspension of disbelief and full throttle delusion. So You are have also through the years taught me a lot about the, you know, the work of changing mindset, the actual work of it, right? Yeah. And not how do you get past wanting it and then actually making a yeah. mindset happen? You know, what's a mindset shift that you made this year that you think has had the most impact on the way that you support our founders?
Yeah. I mean, this year it started with one that I did for myself personally, and it's I've seen it kind of transform the way like I've seen our founders respond to it. But for me, I leaned into celebrating small wins. Like the mantra of a win's a win became integral to me in 2024. And really it did start as a way to stay motivated on my own work, because most of the time I would find myself waiting for these big projects
to happen
or these big projects to be completed before celebrating anything.
By the time they happen, you sort of forgot about it, moved on.
Or I felt demoralized and I'm like, okay.
Something bad happened.
Exactly. So instead of like waiting for that to happen, I began to at least acknowledge every step I took along the way. So instead of waiting to like hit the mountain peak, I was like, oh, I made it to one summit. Great.
And were you encouraging the founders to do that with you as well?
I was. And like I said, what I didn't anticipate was like how much it would reshape the way I work with those founders. Because when I started pointing out their small wins that they were noticing, that they were kind of breezing over in company.
Yeah, they were doing the same thing.
Yeah, like they were being like, oh, like we launched this like major campaign to a new audience I've never tried before. And it's like, hold up.
Yeah.
And wonk, 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 wonk. Hold on, backtrack. Like, that's huge. Like, you did that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it shifted the energy, though. Like, when they started acknowledging, like, oh, actually, no, completely rewriting, like, our pitch deck or our website or, like, getting a call from a major company that they've been trying to get for like a year.
Yeah.
Those are moments to acknowledge and celebrate.
It's like delayed gratification is a giant energy vampire.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That haunts you even when you don't know it. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And then like, I think the big shift that I saw is like those distant, daunting goals didn't feel far away because they could easily then kind of translate real progress to things that they were doing every day.
I love
it. And for me, like, in my own personal life and then watching our founders, it was a reminder that momentum isn't built overnight, right?
Yep.
Like momentum is a steady, consistent buildup over time.
Right.
And when you have basically these blocks of wins, it builds confidence and keeps everyone engaged. And then once the founders started seeing it that way, their teams started to feel more confident, engaged, and aligned. And like it really changed the way that they approached talking about goals to begin with. So it wasn't just like, yeah, like this is where we want to get. And it's like, actually, like we made it here. Look how closer we are.
Yep. Yep.
Which is huge.
Yep.
And like, it was really great to see them and like have those takeaways for those founders, which I guess as a segue.
Well, good job, because they showed in my office less miserable
than
they might have because of your good switch into celebrating the small wins, which I never do.
Gotten better.
Thank you.
Gotten better.
Baby steps, baby steps.
Wins a win.
Wins a win.
Wins a win.
Yep. Keep saying it.
The wins a win. Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, if you could distill 2024 into one takeaway for founders and leaders, what would it be?
Well, two things, really. Yeah. Sorry, I tried to pick one, but 2024 just fused these two things.
I mean,
together.
2024 felt like 50 years.
It did. It was like 2024 was like a decade.
You're allowed.
Yeah. One is practical, right? So from bookstore clerk to waitress, you know, my on-the-job training in the service industry is just an inextricable part of my DNA. You know, 20 years on and my work habits still reflect this. I mean, sometimes much to the chagrin of those around me, like start what you finish, mind the details, keep your tools organized, clean as you go, right? Like those were indispensable to me in the service industry. And they are, it's how I run my life, but it's how I run my business. And it's how I expect things to be as an investor. And I will say that in 2024, and I certainly into 2025, you know, now is not the time to be sloppy. You got to keep it tight, right? In times of uncertainty, you need to be ready for anything. Not always bad things, good things. I can't tell you how many times last year something unexpectedly good happened. And if your shit's a mess, right, you could miss out on that opportunity. Yeah. So in order to move quick to seize an opportunity, you know, and even if, or move quick to avoid an asteroid from wiping you out of existence, but like both, right? You know, you've got to keep it tight, keep it tight. And if things start, if your back end is a dumpster fire, trust me, eventually the front end will catch fire too.
I mean, all there's right. a reason high-end chefs always are like,
for reals. For yeah. I spend a lot of time in the restaurant industry. Yep. Probably the place where mess was least tolerated, right? You know, the more like spiritual lesson from this year for me and for, I think that I, you know, I think for me, and I think for, I would like to impart this to the founders that I work with, is that you've got to take time to remember the why.
Yeah.
Like in good times and bad, I think we are really living in the time of why, right? Like you know, with the half-life of everything is shrinking.
Yeah.
You know, business model, product models, you know, technology and the people who use it are evolving at like breakneck speed. And so knowing why you do what you do matters as much as, if not more than, how you do it.
Yeah.
Right. The what and how change often, yeah. and now more quickly than ever, right? So whether you're a founder or investor, the why of what we do may be the only North Star, right? Yeah. That can guide us through the maelstrom of choices that we face every day, right? Yeah. And the work that we do.
And like, that's one of those things that I know for me, and like I've heard a lot of people say, is like, when you are connected to your why, you're less likely to burn out because you're motivated to move towards it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the idea that there are no rules, no guardrails, no fail safe patterns to apply to, you know, scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And again, Gen X latchkey kid who only survived because my parents convinced me that rules were omnipresent and that if you broke them, you would die, right? And I somehow made it through. And so the idea that on the other side of that, that in entrepreneurship and investing, that there really aren't that many rules anymore. There aren't that many principles that you can count on, you know, fail safe, no guardrails. Like it really, you're sort of like we're free skating now, everybody. Yeah. Like the program is over and we're free skating. But that's when I come back to the why, because like, I love what I do. I love the people I work with. And there's just no job I'd rather have, you know, and that's my why.
Yeah.
And when I get a little lost, I come back to that. And while it doesn't always solve all the problems, it gives me a place to like reorient, right? Yeah. It gives me something to reorient around. And it usually helps me kind of break the bottleneck and take some kind of step forward.
Yeah. Which I think is so important, especially looking at the year ahead. Because again, if 2024 showed us anything, it's that even when things feel messy, staying true to our core values helps guide us through the chaos, right? Yep. Growth isn't neat or linear, and it comes with challenges and unexpected detours. But at the end of the day, that's what makes it meaningful, right? Because like, what's anything nice without a little mess?
I agree.
Right? So any final words?
God, well, they say you got to crack a couple eggs to make an omelet.
Exactly.
Or like, I'm apparently 80 years old, and those are the kinds of idiomatic expressions that I use now.
I'm the mess that I make.
Oh, see, that's so much younger. See, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're so young.
So beautiful. I try. Anyway, here's to embracing growth in all of its messy yet beautiful forms. And let's step into 2025 with a little more confidence, curiosity, and a lot more whimsy. Why don't we? So with that in mind, I think to close out 2024, we should both ask the A-ball a question.
Yes.
And we will now depart it with more wisdom than we started with. So let's ask the A-ball what's in store for us, shall we?
Marissa, okay.
How about you start?
You want me to go first?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What do I want to ask the magic 8-ball? Will 2025 be any less opaque? My reply is no. Straight up no. I guess
straight up no.
Shut down by the magic 8-ball.
I
think the magic 8-ball speaks truth. What can I say?
I appreciate your honesty,
magic. Yes, thank you. Thank you, magic 8-ball.
All right, let's see if it'll be any different for me. Magic 8-ball, instead of a small win, 2025 feel like a big win?
You have the magic touch.
Oh, my sources say no.
You know, the magic 8-ball just has to tell the truth, man.
You know, I can't blame it.
But
maybe
I don't think there are that many big wins in the work that we do.
You know what?
There are some, but they're spread out. They're few and far between. And it's the small wins, making a customer happy, improving someone's life, you know, getting like finding a great person, right? Like hitting your target for the month.
Yep.
Like, there's more of that than there is say, big wins.
The magic 8-ball, as ever, keeping me grounded.
Keeping you grounded.
So
yeah.
I guess thank you.
Thank
I express gratitude for keeping me grounded in these uncertain times.
Yep. I guess that's it.
I think that's it.
All right.
Let's go forth and be whimsical in 2025, shall we?
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.